But it is good to be back here in the Lord's house, and it's good to be with the folk here at the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. You know, this is where our heart's at. And as Josh was talking a while ago, y'all may think this is strange, but he's my pastor. Now, I was his pastor for many years, and he got saved while I was his pastor. And I'm thankful for him. What a blessing he is. And I love to see the lives that he's touched, yours and mine. What a blessing it is. Young men, I want to say this. Been preaching a few years now. And I don't know how anybody here feels about Billy Graham, but I think he was probably one of the greatest preachers in our time. And I read a little bit on the history of his life. And when God called him to preach, he started preaching out in the woods up on a stump. And it works. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of my favorite places to be is right out in the woods. I may not even be hunting, just out walking and looking. And I'm going to be honest with you. Boy, God can move out in the woods. You just kneel down and you go to praying. There ain't nobody around to hear you, nobody to interfere, nobody to get in your way. And boy, I'm telling you what, you can pour your heart out to God, and that's what it's all about. Now, this should be less of me and more of Him. Y'all pray tonight that God hide me behind the old rugged cross. It's much about Jesus. If you will, look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll begin in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We'll be going through verse 7. When you find your place, if you will, in honor of the reading of God's Word, stand. That started in Nehemiah. It's a good thing to do. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, which in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Robbie, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer? Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we sung that song this evening, I'm not going to hell. And this scripture had been on my mind for quite some time. And I knew God would allow me to use it. It describes the song very well. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. And this message tonight that God gave me is a study in the word but. And here it's coupled up with God. But God. And this word, and I'm going to do this for Josh's sake, it's an adversative word, meaning opposing or opposite. Now, I say that in the old-fashioned country way, it's a verbal eraser. Amen. In other words, it works on what came in front of him. And it says here, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, means he brought us to spiritual life. I want to say something to you tonight. We all were born in sin. We all were born with that sin nature. It's that sin that we cannot help. That old Adam sin that'll send our soul to hell. And it says here, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and time, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And it goes on and describes the life of one lost that has never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I don't know about you, but that describes me to a T. And if you'll be honest, you'll say amen. It describes me to a T. The time before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, our minds were on things of this world, the things of Satan. For the Bible says we cannot serve two masters. We'll love the one and cling to the other, or cleave to the one and love the other. We cannot serve God and Satan. And what he's saying here is, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin in time past, before we were saved. We were dead.
That's right.
Hey, we were dead spiritually. We were walking in the paths of death, which were the paths of Satan. It says here, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. You see, we all have that thing in common. We all can go back to a time before we are saved. I preached a message one time at one of the churches I was pastoring, that not all sickness, well, all sickness is because of sin. If Adam and Eve had never sinned there in the garden, no one would ever get sick. But not all sin is because of all sickness is because of personal sin. There was a lady sitting in the crowd that morning, and tears running dripped off her chin. And I wondered, what did I do and what was going on? And when I came out of the pulpit, she grabbed me and she hugged me and she said, "Preacher, you'll never know what that means to me." She had suffered for cancer, and so many of the old preachers had came by and said, "What kind of sin have you got in your life?" But I want you to know, we're all subject to the things of Satan. Hey, we were born with that sin nature. We walked that walk. We talked that talk. We lived that life. But God. Now notice this. It says here in the middle of this conversation, but God. It's an adversative word, which means it opposes or makes opposite. It says, but God, in His who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us. If it hadn't been for God's love, where would you be tonight? What kind of shape would you be in? What kind of life would you be living? Where would your family be? What would they be doing if it hadn't been for God? But God stepped on the scene and he took us from our old paths to our new paths. Right. Hallelujah. He moved in our life. He changed the way we think, the way we do, and what we desire. Boy, I like what Brother Olin Barker used to say, my pastor, in years gone by. He said, I can still do whatever I want to. It's just that my want to's have changed. Hallelujah. I'm glad God put that in his scripture. But God, wherein that loved us and with his mercy, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us. I'm glad for mercy tonight. I'm glad for God's love. His love and his mercy, his grace. And boy, I'm thankful for that tonight. That God can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He can forgive us. He can put it in the sea of forgetfulness. And Satan's the only one that'll ever dig it up again. You believe that? Amen. God's good. He says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. Are you saved? You are saved. You know, I want us to think about that for just a few minutes. But God, what did God do for you? What did he do for me? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. One of the most quoted pieces of scripture in the Bible. God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. I got two sons. And I want to say something to you. I love them both. Very much. I love them with a part of my heart that I don't love nobody else with. Hey, and Brother Darnell, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know you. I don't really know you, but I've met you somewhere before. But I can't give up my child for nobody else. But God, he loved me enough that he gave his only son just for me. Just for me. And then not only did he love me enough to save me, but he brought us all together.
You're right.
Hey, that's a love, folk. That you bring the church together as a group of believers, all in all and one in all, and put us together that we may come together and worship and praise and glorify his holy name. And he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And raised us up together. And made us to sit together in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. You know, life's not easy. Life's not easy. They talk about the good old days. But if you talk to the people in the good old days, they would tell you about the good old days. And you talk about them people in the good old days, they'd tell you about the good old days. The good old days are always escaping us. Amen. It's never stagnant. It never sits still. But there's something that hard for me to comprehend here. I want you to understand, I'm not worthy of what God has done for me. I don't. It's not justified in my mind what God did for me. Not only did he save my unworthy soul, but he reserved a place in heaven just for me. He says here, he made us to sit in heavenly places. I want you to think about that tonight. and raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, when the choir really gets together, really gets to singing, I mean the spirit really falls. Boy, I want to tell you something, Tommy. That's a little touch of heaven to me. That's a little touch of the presence of God to me. That's a little sitting together in heavenly places. When the preaching gets good, the fellowship gets good. That's a little bit of a heavenly place to me. I'm not worthy of it. I'm not expecting it. But God, through His amazing grace and wondrous love, has brought us together. Woo, glory to God. Then we can sit in a heavenly place. We can move above this plane that we're living in. Amen. God, I love you. What a blessing you are. And I enjoy our moments together when we can get together and we can sit in those heavenly places. When you know the presence of God is real, and that you can know that He's moving, and that He's touching lives, and that He's saving souls, and that He's bringing us into one mind and one accord. He says, raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places, not because we deserve it, but in Christ Jesus. But God has touched us and loved us, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I want us to think just a minute what He just said. That in the ages to come, the time to come, folks, the good old days ain't got here yet. The good old days are yet to come. For in Thessalonians it says that He will come. He'll open up the eastern skies, and with the voice of an archangel and the sound of a trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which remain shall be taken, be caught up, be raptured. And I don't know about you, but that's going to be really sitting in heavenly places. He's going to do things. He's already done things for us that we can't do for ourselves. He's doing things that we can't do for ourselves and that we're not worthy of. But it comes down to this tonight. There's no ifs or ands, maybes or hope-sos. There's a line drawn right down the middle. Either we're in or we're out. There's not a gray area there to work in. Satan will try to tell you, you're a good old boy or you're a good old girl. Hell's full of good old boys and good old girls. Either we're saved or either we're lost. There's not a straddling place there where we can waver over and linger over and hope that when time to come that it'll be all right. It's not a hope-so salvation. It's a no-so salvation. And when He calls us home, when we're raptured out of here, either we're ready or we're not. The question comes down to this. Can you go back to a time in your life where you can say, but God? Can you look around at yourself and look down in your heart and say, but God?
Man.
That's the greatest question that's ever been asked. That's the greatest two words that's ever been put together. But God. But God touched my life. God saved my soul.
Amen.
Can you go back and say, but God brought me to this place in my life, then He saved my soul? Can you say, I used to be a part of this world. I used to run with the wild and the wicked. But God got a hold of my life and saved my soul. Is there a but God in your life? You know, I may be preaching to the choir tonight. I don't know. Maybe everybody here is saved. I don't know, but God, He does.
That's right.
Amen.
I cannot look down in a heart. I cannot examine a person's life, but God, He can.
Right.
Is there a but God pause in your life? Think about that. Think about what it means, where it can take you, or where it can keep you out from, where it can send your soul for eternal damnation. But God, is there a pause in your life that says, but God? Who is rich in His mercy for His great love wherewith He loved me. I'm changing that word us to me. Can you say, but God loves me?
Amen.
And I love Him. Preachers, you come. That's what God gave me. Tonight, I want to say, I'm just old-fashioned. I just preach it the way God gives it to me. That's the way I teach it, verse by verse. But I want you to know, there's got to be a but God in your life. Thank you.